In any case, it's a new phenomenon that a lot of people don't know about. And so I spent the last 3 years traveling around the world, hanging out with these guys and trying to figure out what they do and the people that own the company.
Are they all ex-military?
Yeah, almost, 99%. There's a couple of guys in the book that you'll meet that are actually not military. One was on President Aristide's detail, and the other one worked for Blackwater on the Bremer detail.
What happened to Aristide? I mean,
he was deposed by his security contractors.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we funneled cash to him to pay for his, how many bodyguards did he have at one time?
Well, he started off with a couple of dozen, so let's say 3 dozen in total as support people, and then he got into trouble, and then he started losing sort of this uprising, and then he thought, well, damn, these guys are good, I'll get some more, and so he put an order in to double his inventory, and the State Department figured that he was going to use them as mercenaries, so they were stopped at the airport, and then the word came down to basically wake Aristide up, take him to the airport, and there'd be a plane waiting for him, and his security guard, which he was paying for, it wasn't the U.S. money, woke him up, told him they were going to a TV station to make an announcement, but they drove him straight to the airport, and then there were a number of men with military uniforms that once they got on the plane, with his security detail and their families, they changed out of their uniforms into civilian clothes, and they said that he landed in somewhere in the Caribbean, but he was actually in Miami, and they sat there on the airport until they could find a country, which happened to be Central African Republic, that would take him. And it was one of those strange things where it's hard to believe that somebody's security, bodyguard would actually take them down, but it happened.
Was he paid off, you think, the bodyguard?
Well, I think what it is basically pressure. The Steel Foundation, which was the company that he had hired, obviously gets a phone call from the State Department, and they're not going to argue.
No, when that call comes in, you basically do what your client tells you to do, right?
Right, and this is basically how they control these companies, because as long as they've got large contracts with the U.S. government, that's their way of sort of steering them left or right.
Is this black ops money, Robert?
Not really. I mean, the business of security is somewhat overt. I mean, if you're running a drill rig in Nigeria, let's say, or Colombia, you just slice off a certain percentage for security. So it's a fairly open...
And you label it as such? You just say, this is security?
Yeah, the problem is that these guys range anything from Marines to Special Forces to, let's say, Delta SAS, and they have connections within the government. So if something needs to be done, or if somebody needs a hand, like in Iraq, they call their old buddies up. So there's a lot of times when people cross the lines.
Now, these are Americans, right?
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example. I was near... Abu Ghraib prison, and one of the guys that runs a large warehouse there is an old Mac Vsauce guy. Well, he jumps over the wall and he snipes guys who try to, when I say guys, Iraqis, who try to mortar their compound. Now, he's not supposed to do that, but he's trained to do that, and he's very good at it. And in essence, he's doing what we're doing, but he's actually a private citizen in a foreign country.
The Americans who are you don't like to use the word mercenary, but that's really what they are.
No, I mean, mercenaries are mercenaries. I have lots of friends who are mercenaries.
Right. What are the chances that, and how many are there? How many are we talking about here?
Well, if you're talking security contractors, there's about 70,000 working in Iraq right now. Probably
70,000, like, soldier-type guys, private people?
I call them hired guns. They're basically men who are hired to keep people alive. And they have
70,000? That's all. That's half the troop force.
Exactly. And about half of those are Iraqis, and about half of those are expats. But it's extremely logical when you think that we don't have enough troops over there. So, for example, I was over in Iraq last month, and I was with a security company that we were driving around in armored pickup trucks with the guys with machine guns in the back and steel tubs, and we were guarding gravel. I mean, that's how ridiculous it is in Iraq right now. And that gravel was going to build a police station about 30 miles north of Baghdad. And everybody on this project knew that once that police station was built, it was going to be blown up by a truck bomb. So, I mean, that's just the way things go over there.
Do you think this Iraqi situation is just out of control?
Yeah, it's chaos is the best word. People always say, well, is there a civil war going on? They'd say, well, civil war would mean that there was some kind of logic to what was going on. There's so many different groups and sort of ethnic and religious, segments that are fighting each other that it's almost chaos. When I was over there, the Iraqis were buying Syrian passports to get their families out of the country. So it's evolved into sort of just a free-for-all, like one of those Western movies, where people are smashing chairs over each other's heads.
What's going to be left there, Robert? Realistically, what will be left? Just the oil? Because everyone else will leave.
No, my prediction is the natural homeostasis of Iraq is there's three sections. There's Kurdistan, which is doing just fine. There's not much violence there at all, and they're doing well. There's the central part, which is really more of a swath that goes from Lebanon through Syria and Jordan, and that's sort of the Bedouin sort of belt there. Then the southern part, which is Shia, which can get along just fine with Iran. And then you'll have a separate entity, which is essentially the oil industry, going from Kirkuk south, and that will be run by corporations. And then, of course, they'll pay their taxes or whatever. But the way that that works is very much like Colombia and Nigeria, where as long as you can seize the assets of a country and protect it, we really don't care what goes on with the politics.
You start off your book with an individual who basically his family made money as an automobile supplier, and he takes off, he explodes. What happens? How does he do this? How does he decide, I'm going to run a company and contract out soldiers, basically?
Well, you're talking about Eric Prince, who's a young guy, he's in his mid-30s. His father was an industrialist in Michigan, and he made his money with the lighted sun visor. And at that time, the American auto industry was just starting to outsource a lot of its products. So, he picked up a lot of stuff from his dad, along with, almost $1 billion in inheritance. And he was in the Navy SEALs, and he thought, that there's a need for training facilities. So he bought 6,000 acres on the east coast of the United States, North Carolina. And for a while, his business just sort of struggled along in the mid-90s. It was basically his personal toy. And then when 9/11 hit, he got his first gig providing security for the CIA over at Shkin and Kabul and Herat. And it wasn't until Iraq hit and they had to keep Bremer alive that all of a sudden his business started to explode. And what he did is he brought over three helicopters, armored vehicles, about 60-some-odd, ex-soldiers, and kept Paul Bremer alive.
The cost for these individuals must be how much? We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's got that number. If you want to do some stupid math, you can say, look, there's 18-some-odd billion in reconstruction, and the GAO, the accounting office, came up with an estimate that somewhere between 15% and 30% of that money is actually spent on security. So that's an extraordinary number.
It is huge.
And that's not just one nice slice. There's multiple slices. So let's say a dollar goes to Iraq. Well, every time you subcontract, there's a layer of profit, and each one of those subcontractors needs security. So it actually doubles, triples, quadruples up before it gets to the ground.
How many of these guys are getting killed in various forms of combat?
About 400 have been killed in Iraq. And some of those range from the mundane to the actively, fighting. But the bottom line is that the only way people know is when they apply for what they call a Defense Base Act insurance.
This insurance is paid for by whom?
The government. It's provided, if you're working for the U.S. government, it's a way to give people life insurance in a war zone.